client, shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, LeaderShield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back about 15, make it 18 into hour three after a far-flung, rollicking visit with Johnny. And speaking of rollicking, who's more rollicking than Cherie DeVoe, Riri? Good morning, Cherie.
How are you?
I'm good.
Belmont?
I am at beautiful Belmont Park, where, in fact, it had to have been, it was what? It was 3 years ago now, or four? Three. When you launched.
4 years ago. It's been 4 years ago, and then must have revisited your set 2 years, or a year ago, because a memory popped up that you had posted I was out there with you.
Exactly, and I saw it the other day too, and because we had that kind of hour and 15 minute, you know, sort of a you know, this is your life, Cherie DeVoe kind of a thing. It was touching.
Well, you know, there's a lot going on.
That's right. Still, waters run deep when it comes to our Cherie. Well, let's celebrate a second graded stake win. And it's the Mint Julep, and boy, this filly continues to improve, and you obviously had to be thrilled yesterday.
Really thrilled. You know, she'd been unlucky in her last race not to get up and win at Keeneland in the allowance race, and just so pleased. We had the Corbis on hand, and it's just so nice to share a win like that with them, physically being there.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Were they not there for the other one?
No, they weren't there for when she won the Regret. So this is the first, I mean, I've only had two stakes wins, but this is their first stakes win that they could celebrate together, being on hand into Cheer Gam in the stretch physically.
Well, and we'll, it, you know what, we'll get back to her and where she's headed and so forth, and, you know, the upside part of the story. But actually, pause, because I don't know if you saw the I put the figure up this morning, 97 buyer, you know, easily a career best, and not just a career best. I mean, she took a real step forward here, and let's face it, she, even though that's a new Churchill turf course, she seems to particularly run well at Churchill. I don't know if it's at this point, given the fact that that's a new course, which actually I may talk to you about and explain what's going on. For those that haven't seen the news, they're going to start limiting the rest of the meet. They're going to limit the turf course to only two turf races a day, and they made on the overnight, over the weekend, they laid out essentially the cancellation of a number of probably 15 or 18 races that are going to be switched to the main track. They feel that they've probably run too many races this spring on the course without moving the temporary rail enough. What has been your thought on the grass course so far, Cherie?
You know, I'm not a person who is, I don't know how to grow a turf course or to manage or maintain, or I only know how to run horses over it or try to. What it seems like is that the turf course just isn't growing as fast as they'd like. You know, if you see it on TV, it just doesn't look as green as it did when they first opened it. I haven't had too much bad luck, knock on wood, with it. I had one horse bobble a bit, but I was speaking with some of the jockeys who were expressing concerns that deep on the inside rail. Even Adam mentioned to me that he was going to be off the rail because the inside of the turf course is pretty loose. Like maybe the grass there hasn't taken root the way it should have, or they're expecting it to. So I just think it things like they're very ambitious with how many races they can run, and in the future I'm sure it'll be fine, but it's so early in the stages of this turf course and the grass taking, it's not an easy process by any means. So a lot of it has to do with weather, but I think the racing office wanted to offer a lot more races, and they did. And it's one of those things where it's trial and error until they can, and when error meaning luckily nothing too terrible has happened. I don't know any statistics of any horses that may or may have gotten hurt. But, you know, as far as the constitution of the turf course, they've got to do trial and error and see what works best, how many races, where the rail should go, how they can water it. And that's all above my pay grade as somebody who watches horses go around in a circle.
No, and I was only I was just curious anecdotally what you thought, because some people have said that when it was wet, like for instance Derby weekend, that you know that it was slick and horses were a little tentative. Other horses won't mind that necessarily. When it comes to footing, that's a key to how much a horse will extend themselves. So if the footing is not to their liking, they're not going to put out. I mean, they're going to run gingerly and not aggressively. So she will talk about where she is heading. I want you to talk about, because I know I brought it up with you after the regret, and you mentioned the Corbett's here, and I referenced the late Martha Jerry and how much Lazy F, the history and Forgo, you were very much in tune with, what a privilege and a delight it is to train for them. And now now Mrs. Corbett is Martha's daughter, right?
Correct.
And who else is involved in the family?
So the Lazy F branch now is Mrs. Corbett and her son Rick, and so Gam is what Mrs. Corbett, Cornelia's kids, called Mrs. Jerry. Gam, Graham, Gam. So Gam is named after Mrs. Jerry, essentially.
Nice. And, of course, Auntie, the mayor, Auntie Martha, and before that, Auntie Mame. And, I mean, it's one of the great, really, one of the long-running, not just in racing, but in American history, too. I mean, Ebenezer Jerry, I actually went to school. I went to Colgate with Ebby Jerry. I think he was Ebby fourth, if I'm not mistaken. It was a terrific guy. A beta, but still a terrific guy. So it's great to have those silks out there with that hat. I don't know why more American outfits aren't using that Australian Euro style hat. Lee Einsiedler does with the pink and the black, and they do, but we don't see that many of those.
Well, why? It's a pain in the rear end to keep track of all of them.
Well, that's for sure. That's for nothing disappears more than silk caps.
Right. And it's a lot. I couldn't do it, but and it might just be an oversight. I think, as an owner, when you're putting your stable brand out there, it might have just gotten lost in time that the cap is an identifiable part of it.
That's true. That's a good point. And it's funny. Here's a little hint for those of you that are going to start your own stable or, going to get your own horse. And one of the things you're looking forward to is designing your silks. You should talk to the Jockey Club office, and they'll help you. Don't just try to submit a jacket design. They'll talk to you. And I can remember when I submitted ours for DT, and when I submitted the basic layout, which was the lime green jacket with the blue sleeves and the blue dots, they said, well, you needed another distinguishing characteristic. She goes, because there's already, a lime and blue dot with blue sleeves. I said, well, what do you think? And she said, how about cuffs? And I didn't know what she meant at first, but at the end of the sleeve, you can have a contrasting color, and they call that, they identify it as the cuff. And she said, not many people use a alternate color on the cuff, and it's one way to distinguish your silks. And so I said, okay, great, let's do that. And so we did the lime cuffs that pick up the jacket, and it's I love our silks, but I designed them, so why wouldn't I?
Well, you're supposed to.
You love our silks. You walked them over, I'm sure, to a few over the years with Chuck.
Oh, yeah, of course. They were nice. I remember the big blue dots. And I remember the cap because it was multicolored.
It's a four. But let me tell you something. Most often, that cap has disappeared. It is the four quadrants of the lime and blue. But you end up a lot of times when the guy comes out, when the jock comes out of the room, he's wearing just some random faded pullover cap because the jock room loses them left and right. And they're not cheap. I mean, every time you go to order, you order like four of them at a time or six of them. And invariably, 2 years later, they're gone.
Right. That's why... Especially with that cap, I take it off. I make Adam hand it over. I forgot yesterday in all of this. Everyone celebrating to grab the cap. So it's no to all my assistants. Make sure that they go in and grab that before they grab the silk to make sure the cap is good.
Now see, this is real inside baseball. This is the kind of stuff you don't get anywhere else.
And then everyone can know why we're so temperamental all the time. There's a lot of details we have to remember.
Well, speaking of details, okay, we're gonna get. I promise we'll get back to Gam's mission and the rest of the stable in a second. Explain to everybody, especially to horsemen who have been putting off their HISA registration. You've been doing it all morning. How did it go? How involved? How easy or difficult is it?
This is not, when I say this, I'm not going to be speaking on one side of the issue or other with HISA being involved in our sport. I'm just going to make comments on how much they have not thought about the follow-through of all the trainers doing it. It's a five-step process to register a horse, and each step has a couple different... steps in it, and then there's some horses that you can't find. Anything with an apostrophe is hard to find. I have one I'm going to have to call because she's named. It's not on there. It won't recognize the mare. So it's kind of a pain in the rear end, and it's time-consuming. I brought up a point. I tweeted it out. They want all of us doing this it's all online, and there's very few tracks that offer Wi-Fi on the backside, and I had the luxury of having a light day at both of my divisions, so I stayed home, and it took me 2 hours to get everything in there, and everything's not in there. Any horse that doesn't have a name, which I have a large number of two-year-olds that don't have names, you can't register. So they basically gave us a five-week window to do this, or a six-week window when everything was up and running, and it would be great if it were streamlined, but it's not. So... when I sent out my invoices this month, we're sending a letter to all of our clients, and some of my clients are elderly, and we're going to have to make some time and talk them through on how, if they don't understand how to do it, and talk them through on registering. So there's a lot of steps to it. It's just kind of a pain in the patoots, I guess I'll say. So, but you got to do it. I'm not going to argue with it. It's just going, I'll be interested when it takes on July 1st when everything's supposed to be in there, how smooth this transition goes.
Well, and of course, you know, with the exhortations to do this have come, you know, some veiled threats about, you know, not being allowed to enter or to be scratched if horses aren't registered. And you bring up a couple of very germane points, Cherie. You got probably certain clients, certain people that are older. They're going to need help necessarily, you know. It as an owner, it was not that difficult to get the owner portion in, but still, it was a multi-page and multi-entry process, and you know, it's not like you've got 150 horses, right? I mean, you've got what, 60, 50,
80.
There you go. So I mean, that's sizable enough. That's probably a little bigger than average, and my God, how close to done? How many have you done so far? It's what, 11:30?
I have most of them in there, and I'm thankful for the 15 that aren't named. I didn't have to worry about them.
Thank God for those 2-year-olds. That's pretty funny.
Yeah. And that, you know, they did say their Kentucky HBPA put on a town hall meeting that
yes.
was well attended by the trainers and staff. And again, I did the horses. I have an office assistant, and I was going to pass it on to give it to her, Amy, to do. But every single employee that we have has to get registered, so you have to divide the workload because, you know, all the every groom, hot walker, night watchman, exercise rider, anybody, it's, you know, we have to get licensed in every state and every jurisdiction, so they're not, it's not abnormal to have to register, you know, or have one more thing, but it's tedious, especially when you have a few different divisions, so that's going to be my office assistant's job, but it's not just, you know, as a trainer at running a stable, it's not just sitting down and doing one task. There's multiple layers to this to be compliant. And I feel it's unfair to have such a small window of time because it's not just entering. Then you have to upkeep when a horse moves from one place to another, keep the owners updated. And they did say that there was going to be a leniency, and the leniency is if the horse is entered, you have until scratch time to be compliant with the horse and the owner. So it's a couple days, but it's not just you won't be able to enter. They're saying you can enter, but by scratch time, everybody has to be registered and in the system.
I'm glad I said I was going to ask you about it, so I'm glad that we did that. I'm sure some people appreciated that portion of the coverage. Let's go back to GAM's mission and where you think you go from here with her now. I mean, and you know, to be honest, knocking off that kind of a fig, Cherie, that was a significant step forward. You know, talk about her development and the distances you feel comfortable running at with her and how the summer's going to unfold.
You know, the figures... In speed figures, everyone uses them differently. As a trainer, I use them to gauge what you should do with the horse going forward. And the figure and the way she came back from the race, she's very tired afterwards. Took her a while to cool off, this hot day. The figure supports what we should do is give her some time from this race to the next one. So, you know, we'd look for something more towards the middle to end of July instead of running her back in, say, 3-4 weeks. And obviously there's going to be limited opportunities to run her because we have to run her in a few. There's few conditions, allowance conditions, so we have to point her towards stakes. So, you know, there's Diana and Saratoga, but that's obviously a huge step up. There's, you know, something like the Matchmaker at Monmouth might be a good option for her with the timing, the distance. You know, so we take all of that into account. Now, so far she looks good, but we also have to see how she comes out of the race and in her training. So there's a lot of factors that we all take into consideration. She, you know, physically she looks great, but Adam even, you can see, just took his time getting her back because she was quite tired after that effort.
How about distance for her? I mean, she's gone as far as a mile and a quarter. That was in the Belmont Oaks. And actually, she ran very well in there. I mean, she ran very evenly behind Santa Barbara and Con Lima's, only beaten two lengths. So you've tested her from a distance standpoint. You know, now that she's a four-year-old and probably, you know, probably still has got some growing to do, what do you think is going to be her optimal distance?
You know, I thought that when we ran her a bit farther, she loses her kick. So she's running really well at the 8.5 to 9 furlong range. So that's, try to keep that in mind and work with it. A mile's too short. So she could handle a mile and a quarter, I think, given the right situation. But as I said, I think she loses that needed kick at that longer distance.
All right, so keep her in the middle range, and one thing's for sure, Adam Bisquezza gets along with her really well.
He does, and he's ridden her for most of her career, and I spoke with him, and on paper, she was the favorite, but I thought it was a really tough race. And as the race unfolded and I saw Delica on the lead getting an easy lead and setting up this fraction, and she is really hard to run down when she's doing that. So prior to the race, Adam, I just told him he had to ride a smart race. When she lost at Keeneland, she lost by a nose and she was quite wide. So just told Adam to try to ride a smart race, which he did. I loved on the backside how he just improved his position along the way without having to ask her to do too much, sensing that the pace was slow. And, you know, I think that made the difference instead of sitting way back there and just trying to make a run. Because, like I said, Al Philly did put up a pretty honorable fight in the last stages of the race.
No, she's honest, Delica. There's no doubt. You ended up, what'd you end up? 3-1. Actually, they made Petrichor. They made Petrichor the favorite by post time.
Yeah. And I mean, we were 5-1 morning line, which I thought was fair given the field.
No, the price. Well, I'm surprised that Petrichor took that much money. Although, you know, the one win, North America, we talk about little insights about horse names. I think I've mentioned this before when she first turned up in the spring. Petrichor is a word that I had on. I've got a list, you know, of potential names for horses, and Petrichor is a really unusual word, and I thought it was interesting that Judmont came up with it. It Petrichor is defined as the smell in the air after a spring or summer rain. It's a very interesting word. Yeah, Petrichor. It's really offbeat. I don't even know why but it's been on. It was on a list of words that I thought would make a good horse name, and Judmont agreed.
Well, I don't know where people ever find these words. It's like it's not something.
Oh, that's great. I know. And it's another one of those areas of the game that are people think, oh, it'll be so much fun to name the horse, until you start to try to name the horse.
That's the difficulty we're running into. When I say a couple of these horses aren't named the two-year-olds, not by lack of trying.
Well, Sheree, I can help you with this, because I just named a couple for Jerry Jamgochian, and I named three for Joe Besseker. I've got a real flair for that. So if you need help, I'm happy to pitch in.
I'll send you a list because there's some, and there might be a good one in there, and you can take claim for it every time it wins.
Excellent. That's what we're going to do. Speaking of claims for wins, you've been winning with alacrity, which is another favorite word of mine. Ombre won on Friday. We should mention that one. Your basic $134 allowance, Cherie. How about Treasure of War's Maiden Breaker at Indy? And also the previous day, 10 days ago, that was it Chione?
We say Sion, but I don't really know. So the announcers say Keone. It's frost. It's a play on frosted. It's a winter war. It's something to do with the play on frosted. But it's been a good couple days. It's been a great start of the year for us, actually.
Yeah.
You know, we use fairgrounds in the winter time. Give horses off that need off and. It's a great venue to develop horses through their racing program. So we started the year off in very good form, and it's continued, and it's really a testament to what 4 years ago when I sat in your chair and we chatted about my going out on my own, it's what we had set out to achieve. It was more of a building, not getting horses in right away. It was building a team and building a stable, not just having horses come in and owners come in. So we each year have tried to build on to the last, and that in the horses and the clients and even my team and my staff. We add a management position each year, it seems like, and just really grateful and pleased that I don't even know if I can come up with a word for it of how well it really has. Because in the beginning, I'm not going to lie, there were some days when David earned his stripes as Dr. Phil to just keep me focused on the bigger picture. And he said, give it 3 years. And here we are, came out of the third year into the fourth, 4 years later with a Breeders' Cup starter who ran third. Our stable finished in the top 100 last year. Of the overall national standings. So, you know, it's really, if I told you the first time we talked that I would be having this conversation like this 4 years later without a mental breakdown, I would find it hard to believe.
No, nobody doubted that you weren't going to be successful doing this. And, you know, you had the background of starting with your dad and family on the standard bred side, and then into thoroughbred and Chuck and Chad, and you've just had so many, so many your hands on so many good horses that part rubs off, and the client management portion and. The personnel side of it, you have to be so many different kinds of a manager to do this. And frankly, I think the public and the horse player community, I don't think we appreciate just how difficult the job is. And we don't think of it as a job because it is a lifestyle, but at the same time, it's a different kind of a lifestyle for the trainer who, also has got financial management pressures that are unique. It's just unbelievable how many different demands there are. And until you've experienced them and found a comfort level for your own personal approach to things, it doesn't happen overnight. And so that's why David's advice, the 3 year advice, is probably good for anybody that is just getting started.
Well, you have to keep that in mind. It's hard. It was so hard for me to go from a position of having a lot of action, running. I enjoyed running a lot of horses, and it wasn't just about winning. It was just about having something to do and knowing what to do with your day. And then, what works for other trainers and their schedule of how they do things, manage their time, manage their client relations, doesn't work for everyone. I can only try to do something that works for me, and it's taken its time, and again, each year we've doubled in size. So now I'm at a pretty, from where I started to where I am now, it's a lot of different, you know, communication and texts and emails and different groups. And I really try hard to keep the communication at a high level with each individual client for their horses, because it's part of their experience. Not just having a horse and going to race day, it's being part of the experience and the development and every part of the journey together. So it's hard, and managing my own time, we have to be mindful that we are humans and we need time to ourselves every day, you know, and go for a walk or go to the gym. But you have to sit down and say, okay, well, from 4 to 5, this is my time. And when I'm home, that's my family time. So it's about creating boundaries for yourself as well.
Really well put, Sheree. And you've always had, I mean, between the gym work and you know, you've always had a, you know, conscious of having, you know, an outlet away from the track.
And again, that my life is from that point to where I am now has taken a couple different turns, and being married, and I had my knee replaced a year and a half ago. You just have to keep plugging away and trying to, I don't have the time that I did to go to the gym for 2 hours. So sometimes it's going for a walk or getting on a Peloton for a bike ride or just a quick gym visit. So that I've had to learn to give myself some grace in that respect too.
Let's, Sheree DeVoe's our guest, and this is as good as having sat here and done it face to face. The same kind of, you know, kind of far-reaching discussion. We've got a couple of minutes left, Sheree. Let's touch on some other horses in the barn, and also there's a first-time starter coming up this week. But what's next for Baroness? It looks like after that very good workout this past weekend or this past week, it looks like she's ready for something any day.
Well, she is. So we have her scheduled to run in the Chicago on the 25th at Churchill. And I actually gave her a week. We gave her an easy week because there's a lot of time between her last start and her next start. So she's doing great. Looks fantastic. And she's all systems go right now for that spot.
Nice. And she's racked up the earnings. And she's one of the Belladonna horses, she's certainly approaching $500,000 in earnings. What tell us about the recent maiden breaker, that Bella Conchita?
Bella Conchita, she's actually taken a little while to get to the race to break her main. She's been pretty honest. We actually had her in a claiming race, and we'll likely go back. It's just the owners, you know, they've had a lot of time invested in her, and with, you know, how things go, we've got to find a spot where they're going to be competitive. So we're just looking for another spot, which there's, again, as we touched on, there's limited opportunities at Churchill, so we're going to have to try to find a spot that suits her best next.
What about a personal favorite, Tulane Trist, coming out of that St. Matthews on Derby week, and of course had been second in the Whitmore, which was a good effort, and there's got to be plenty of stake opportunities for him for the four-year-old.
Well, there are, but if you read the chart, he bled, and it was a pretty significant episode. So he's out right now at Windstar. He's such a good horse, and in the times that they are, we'll give him plenty of time to let his lungs heal from that, and that's really the only, he's not had a history of that in the past, but he's also only run off the Lasix one other time, and that was a year prior, so who knows why. There's no reason to explain why he did, but when that happens, and it's a horse of his caliber and his talent, we're going to give him the time to let that heal, and hopefully we'll have him back for the fall.
Ish, I hate to hear that. And did you see, speaking of that, did you see Pat Dupuis' post on Facebook, Pat railing a little bit about, you know, the on Lasix, off Lasix, and, you know, what it's doing to the horses, what it's doing to the bettors. I thought Pat was pretty poignant in his frustration and the way he voiced it.
I haven't read it, and to be honest, this is his race, and he, with the degree that he bled, which was as high as it can be when they, you can visually see it, I haven't had any problems, knock on wood. So, you know, I'm not, everybody's experience is different, and this was the only time I've had a negative problem with coming off of Lasix, but we're also, we make sure we're doing a lot more scoping in the barn post-breeze, because the one thing, if you have a horse that does bleed, what will create a chronic bleeder is not stopping it the first time. So if you're not breezing on Lasix and they're two and they bleed a little bit can turn into a chronic problem when you can just breeze them on Lasix and cover them in the morning. So, I can only speak from my experience. I can't speak on an overall. But, you know, it's just a lot. We have to be on top of a lot, very diligent about when you're developing the horses that you're on top of any problem, any lung infection. And, again, if you're not going to be able to run on Lasix, like a horse like Tulane Chris, to cover them, you've got to give them all the time so that they will not do permanent damage to their lungs.
Exactly. Ugh. All right. Well, I'm glad we touched on it. You know, Ombre's win on Friday, Cherie, we'll go back to him for 1 second before we ask about York Tavern. He got 92 buyer in that allowance win. So he's kind of knocking on the door of the next level.
He is now. I got him from Barclay Tag, had started him in the beginning of May, and the horse came in great shape. You know, so the horse in form cycle has had fast numbers to run to. And like I said, I breezed him twice. The horse is still a bit green. You can tell in the race, he switches his leads. He's a bit hard about in the beginning of the race to get on the correct lead. So the horse is still developing as a four-year-old. And, you know, there's a couple options we'll have to explore. You know, there's one interesting one down in, Lone Star? The Stakes coordinator reached out. So, you know, he came out of the race in good shape, and we'll come up with, one of my tasks today is to come up with a couple different options of where to point him towards.
There should be Indiana should have a stake for him, no?
They do, and I think it's the second week there's an overnight stake. I can't remember the name of it. I'm terrible trainers.
No, I know. Cherie DeVos with us. We got a minute left. Cherie, tell us about this horse. That looks to me like Judy Hicks. This horse RNA'd a couple of times, and so looks like the decision was made. Let's just go ahead and run this Run Happy Colt. York Tavern going to start this week on Wednesday in the 7th at Churchill.
So the horse is a really big horse. He's probably almost 17 hands. So his better days seem to be in front of him with added distance. He was entered and he scraped his leg the morning of the race, so we had to scratch. But, you know, he trains really well. The 7 furlongs, it's a difficult distance to start a horse at. But for a horse like him, and he, of course, drew the rail, the horse like him takes a little bit of distance to get his feet underneath him. So... you know, we're looking for a good effort. If he wins, I would not be surprised. He's pretty quick and when he wants to be, but, you know, being practical, he may need a starter or two to figure it out. and some distance, because like I said, he's quite a big boy.
Nice. All right, we'll watch for York Tavern, and you've also got a maiden claimer, Snowscape, a Frosted as well in the sixth on Wednesday.
Yep. Yeah, it can be Catherine Nichol is in on both of them, so it could be a Catherine Nichol really double.
There you go. I love it. Cherie, this was fabulous. Thanks for the insight and the little bit of a barn tour and some help negotiating the challenges of life as a horseman. Always a pleasure. Riri DeVoe, everybody, on your Twitter. Jump aboard. It's a wild ride. Cherie, thank you.
Well, thank you, Steve.
Cherie DeVoe, everybody. That was too much fun. And, in fact, a great way to start the week here at Belmont Park. And Cherie and Johnny, and we had the big price pair to start us off in hour one today. Chucky Lawrence and Eric Foster. Back tomorrow. It's draw day here, 11 o'clock. They're going to draw upstairs. I'm toying with actually doing the show from the draw location, which might be an option. We'll see. Either way, we will talk to you tomorrow. If you missed anything, replay 6 to 9 here on Sirius XM. And, of course, archive and podcast, etc. in a little bit when Case gets to do some post-production. And back with you tomorrow morning. Good luck if you're playing today. There's a few options out there that include Assiniboia and Fair Meadows, Finger Lakes, Parks, Louisiana Downs, Mountaineer later, and Presque and Prairie Meadows. And how about some Thistle Down as well? Thanks, everybody. Talk to you tomorrow.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
The Ponds family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and currently stands the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Frisian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full-service facilities from the foaling barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning.
Want to get your career in horse racing off to a fast start? Well, the University of Arizona's Racetrack Industry Program is your winning ticket. The Racetrack Industry Program has served as a springboard to some of the industry's most successful individuals, with a proven track record of job placement right out of college. If you want to earn a degree in the exciting horse racing industry, the Racetrack Industry Program can put you in the winner's circle.
Visit ua-rtip.org today.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Leader Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.